Okay, so tonight's topic, and by the way, in general, the list of topics for the whole semester has been made up already with Rabbi Chalap's help and Rabbi Shekel's help and Mr. Wolowski's help. If anybody's interested in future topics, the whole list is already laid out. Next week, in keeping with the idea of alternating between Shabbos topics and general topics, so tonight's the general week, so tonight we're talking about Osek of Mitzvah, Patim and a Mitzvah. And next week, as Hashem, the agenda has it that we'll be speaking about Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. So that's it for this week and next week. And if you're interested in the longer list, that exists also. So tonight, to give a little bit of an overview on the topic of Osek Mitzvah Patim and a Mitzvah. So this is a din that you find in a couple of places in Shas. The Gemara tells us this in Maseches Brachos, which you have on the sheets here, and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. And it's learned there from a pasuk in reference to Kriyashma. So we're told, B'shivtecha b'veisecho, v'lechtecha b'derech. So the Gemara understands that the obligation of mitzvahs is only when, B'shivtecha b'veisecho, when you are doing your own thing in your own house, v'lechtecha b'derech, when you are going on your own types of journeys, v'lechtecha, b'leches didach, says the Gemara. So then when you're living your own life and you're doing your own thing, so then you're obligated in mitzvahs. But if you're involved in chetzei shamayim, if you're involved in doing some mitzvah action, so then you're not obligated to do another mitzvah. So that's the rule, Osek mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. And the Gemara also tells us this as kind of a new concept in the Maseches Sukkah. So that's a little backwards in Yom HaDiyomah from 2 weeks ago. The Gemara in Sukkah and Daf Chaf Hei Amar Aleph tells us again that Shluchei mitzvah paturim min ha-sukkah. People who are involved in a mitzvah action are not obligated to sit in a sukkah. So it's a little question why we need to have the din taught to us again in the context of Sukkah if it's a din b'chol tara kula. That's a question that Bnei Yehoshua raises. Why exactly is it that the Mishnah in Sukkah needs to tell us all over again? We know, okay, you're pater from mitzvahs in general when you're osek mitzvahs. So why is this a din taught in Sukkah? So that's a question that Bnei Yehoshua raises, and he suggests that maybe Sukkah is more of a chiddush than other mitzvahs. Because Sukkah seems to have kind of a negative quality to it, that even though it's a mitzvah saseh, but if somebody eats outside of Sukkah, so that's kind of a kumva asay, canceling of a mitzvah of Sukkah, it's almost like an iser. It's almost like you're doing something actively wrong. And we're assuming that Osek mitzvah doesn't exempt somebody from averis. That the idea that Osek mitzvah exempts you from mitzvahs, that's only from positive mitzvahs. But presumably, really just misvara, it's very hard to imagine that Osek mitzvah is going to exempt you from averis. For example, to say that if somebody is involved in a mitzvah, so therefore he could eat nevelos and treifis, and he could be mechal Shabbos, and he can do whatever he wants as far as prohibitions, because he's osek mitzvah, so that's very much not olal adas. It's very much not something that makes sense to us. And therefore it's pretty much presumed, almost misvara, that the whole concept is only applicable to mitzvah saseh. This is something that the Maariv Chayitz raises on this Mishnah in Sukkah, because he asks a question about one of the other prominent passages that deal with Osek Mitzvah, Patim and Mitzvah. The Gemara in Bava Kama and Afnan Vav, which should also be on the sheets here somewhere, tells us about the principle of Pruta de Rav Yosef. The Gemara has a question, how do we view somebody who is a Shomer Aveda? If somebody is watching lost property, you find lost property, and before you have a chance to return it, you're obligated to watch it. So how do we view that guy? Do we view him like a Shomer Sacher, like somebody who has responsibilities of a paid watching guy, somebody who is getting some type of payment for what he's doing? Or do we view him like a Shomer Chinam, because no one's actually giving him a check, so he's basically doing this for free, so we should view him as somebody who took upon this voluntarily without getting paid. So the Gemara has this idea that he's viewed like a Shomer Sacher. He's viewed as if he's getting paid. And then the question is, so who's paying him? He doesn't get paid for watching an aved. So the Gemara gives us two possibilities. One possibility is Rachmanim Mishabdeh, that that's the way God made it. God bound him to this agreement as if he's a Shomer Sacher. The other possibility is a din that's relevant to us. It's called Pruta de Rav Yosef. That basically you do end up with a financial benefit by watching somebody else's property. Because if it were to happen that somebody would come up to you and ask you for tzedakah while you were watching the lost object, so then you could get off the hook. You'll save the money you would have given to tzedakah, because you can say osek b'mitzvah patim min ha-mitzvah. You're involved in this mitzvah, and therefore you're not obligated to do another mitzvah. You're not obligated to give tzedakah. So the Maariv Chayitz in his commentary on Maseches Sukkah and a lot of other achronim ask, how could it be that Osek B'mitzvah should exempt you from tzedakah. Tosa tells us in Ksubis that there are a number of laven in the Torah, a number of prohibitions in the Torah that emphasize the importance of tzedakah. Lo sikpo, it's not allowed to close your hand. You can't harden your heart. There are prohibitions in the Torah. Tzedakah is a lo saseh. That's a question that some Achronim discuss, and there are a number of answers to it. It's not necessarily our concern right now. Perhaps the dominant answer is based on a Ramban in Kiddushin, and Daf Lamed Daled, that when you have a los asay that really comes to strengthen an asay, clearly you have an asay of tzedakah, and you have a los asay basically not to give tzedakah. It's clear that the los asay is really protecting the asay, so then we follow the rules of an asay. So such an asay, even though it has a los asay, so osik mitzvah can exempt you from that. So clearly a los asay that's straight out, like in the Velos and Trefus or something like that, so shatnez, so osik mitzvah is not going to exempt you from that. But something that's really an asay, but has a los asay backing it up, like tzedakah, so osik mitzvah passes. So that's what the Bnei Yeshua comments on this Gemara in Sukkah, that maybe Sukkah would have looked like a los asay, so even though it looks like a los asay, it's really treated like an asay, so Mishnah comes and tells us, osik b'mitzvah, patan mitzvah, even by Sukkah. Fine, so that, those are some of the basics. Since we have this din, somebody is involved in a mitzvah's patan from other mitzvahs, even if it's Sukkah, and presumably only mitzvah asay. Now, the Rishonim, either explicitly or implicitly, basically struggle with the question of how to understand what is this din about. Because on the surface, it seems kind of obvious. Because there are certain facts that are indisputable. We know that you can't be two places in once. Right? We know that it's generally difficult to do two things at the same time. And we know that you're not obligated to do things that you can't do. So if it's really impossible for me to be doing another mitzvah because I'm involved in the first mitzvah, so either I'm going to have to give up the mitzvah I'm doing or give up the other mitzvah, so why do I even need a pasuk, a gemara, to tell me osik mitzvah patan mitzvah? I know that I'm not responsible for things I can't do, and therefore I shouldn't be in trouble for not doing the other mitzvah. So to a certain extent, osik mitzvah patan mitzvah is really a logical concept. And it's such a logical concept that you wouldn't seem to need it. We wouldn't seem to need the whole din, certainly you wouldn't need a pasuk. So what exactly is the chiddush of osik mitzvah patan and a mitzvah? So there are two basic approaches to this question, and they probably established a framework for discussing the whole topic. On the one hand, you have the Ritva, who's really explicitly dealing with this issue. The Ritva says, doesn't understand what's the whole story. What's the chiddush? Obviously, there's no reason for me, and this mitzvah should be here on the sheets here, that why should I stop the mitzvah I'm involved in to go do another mitzvah? It doesn't make any sense. I would have known that on my own. There's no reason to assume that that's what that would have been a good idea. So the Ritva suggests that what is the chiddush of osik mitzvah patam and a mitzvah? The chiddush is that it makes the other mitzvah that presents itself now, it makes the second mitzvah into a non-mitzvah. It makes it into a rishus, because you would have thought that at least if I would want to, I would have the right to prefer the second mitzvah. The second mitzvah is more attractive to me for whatever reason. So I could say, well, I choose to stop this first mitzvah and go do the second mitzvah. And the Ritva says, no, basically the principle of osik mitzvah patam and a mitzvah, it doesn't really get you off the hook from anything. It really strengthens your first obligation. It tells you that your first obligation makes the second mitzvah into a rishus. And therefore, for you to stop a mitzvah and go involve yourself in the rishus is clearly a bizayin, is clearly not something that we could endorse. So that's the power, that's the chiddush of osik mitzvah patam and a mitzvah. That logically you would have just understood, okay, I can't be expected to be in two places at once. And the ritva tells us the chiddush is that, no, you're not allowed to go to the second place, that you're obligated to stick with the first place. The second mitzvah is now a rishus. And this is something that appears in other rishonim as well. It could be also connected to a comment that the Rambam has in his commentary to Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos in the second parak, in the beginning of the second parak, so the Mishnah says, "Havi zohir b'mitzvah kala kibachamura," that you have to be just as careful as you are with, so to speak, light mitzvos, as you are with what seems to you to be more important mitzvos. And the Mishnah and the Rambam explain, the Mishnah already tells you, because you don't really know what the difference is. You think one mitzvah looks bigger than the other, but you don't really know. We don't have a way to tell, especially with mitzvahs asay, we don't have a way to really know what mitzvah is bigger. And the Rambam commenting on that, the Rambam says, and that's why we have a concept of osik v'mitzvah patim and a mitzvah. That you might think that, oh, I should stop the mitzvah I'm doing because the second mitzvah looks better. So no, you have to understand that you don't really know how to distinguish between different mitzvahs, and therefore your first responsibility is the mitzvah that you're involved in right now, and you're not permitted to stop that. So the Rambam doesn't explicitly say what the Ritva says, but it's certainly consistent with the Ritva's perspective. That's one view that you find in Rishonim. This question of whether or not you can stop the mitzvah you're doing and go to the other mitzvah, which the Ritva explicitly tells you you can't do, there is some suggestions in Achronim, in the Tshuvas Chavolim Ben Imim, with a couple of important Tshuvas about this concept. There's a Rav in Toronto, Rav Graubart. So he suggests, if you look in the Gemara in Brachas, in the Sheet here, you see there's a Ptur of Osek B'mitzvah. There's also a Ptur of what we call Torah B'mitzvah. A person has a mitzvah on his mind. And that mitzvah, it's not that he's doing the mitzvah, but that the responsibility of the mitzvah is creating such a weight on his consciousness that he can't really concentrate on anything else. So that's also a Ptur. So some Achronim suggest that maybe if that's the issue, if you're Ptur in a mitzvah because you're just thinking about another mitzvah, so then it could be a good idea to stop thinking about it and actually do the other mitzvah. But if you're positive, cancel out any potential other mitzvah that may come along the way. So that's approach one that you're going to find in Rishonim, as to how to distinguish this din from the logical concept that you would have come up with on your own. Less explicitly, you find a different approach in other Rishonim. Tosis, in a couple of places, there in Sukkah, but also even more clearly in Bava Metzia and in Bava Metbeis in the Gemara about the fruits of Yosef, Tosis expresses a shita which may also seem intuitive, again if you're really dealing with it from a purely logical point of view. Tosis expressed a shita that the whole tour of Osek B'mitzvah only applies in a situation when it's the Efshir L'Kayim Shnehem, that if it's not possible for you to do both mitzvahs, so that's when we let you off the hook. But if, even though you're involved in a mitzvah, you could somehow pull it off that you're going to accomplish both mitzvahs, so then you have no exemption from osik mitzvah, patim, and a mitzvah. Now the Ran disagrees. And the Ran brings raya's to say that it's not true. That even when it's possible for you to be accomplishing both mitzvahs at once, osik mitzvah patis you from the second mitzvah. So the Ran, without being as explicit about the question as the Ritva was, but the Ran is basically also answering the same question with a very different answer. That again, logic would have told me I can't be in two places at once, so I don't need the din of osik b'mitzvah. But we see from the Ran and other Rishonim who agree with him that no, there's a very big chiddush to osik b'mitzvah patan mitzvah. That even if you could be in two places at once, that even to the extent that it's possible, and sometimes it will be possible, to be mekayim two mitzvahs at once, so you are still patur. So if that's the case, he's understanding that this is not just an onus type of claim that what do you want from me, I can't do both, but that basically it very much expands the license that comes from your distraction and says the fact that you're involved in a mitzvah, even though you could have in theory do them both, that gets you off the hook. And if you look back in the Gemara, the way the Gemara derives the whole concept, so then what it would mean is, how is the Ran reading the Gemara? Ran's reading the Gemara that b'lechtecha baderech, b'leches didach, when you're doing your own thing, then you're obligated to do mitzvahs. But if you're doing God's thing, if you're doing mitzvahs, so then you don't have an obligation to do other mitzvahs. And it's not because you can't, it's because the mitzvahs aren't given to somebody who's already involved in mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are only given to b'lechtecha baderech, to people who are doing their own thing. So that's a big chiddush that the Ran tells us. And the risk, as he perceives, as we could already maybe also intuit, is that this could go very far, because there are a lot of mitzvahs that you can fulfill very passively, and you can be fulfilling all day. We know there are mitzvahs to medias, so one could really create a situation where he's exempt from mitzvahs all the time. So the Ran is careful to point out that still the phrase is still osek b'mitzvah patim and mitzvah. It's not mekayim mitzvah patim and mitzvah. So it doesn't mean that any time you are somehow racking up points for some mitzvah that you're doing, that you are patur min ha-mitzvah. It means if you are involved in doing something, if you are actively doing something, that's a mitzvah. So then, even if you could pull it off, do both at the same time, so then you're patur. So he's going further than Tosfos and saying you don't have to say that it's only Be'ef Shalakayim Shneim, even if you could do both. But still, he acknowledges that you have to still be involved physically in some way. So, for example, we talk about the Shomer Aveda. So I could say, well, if I found a lost object and I locked it in my basement, so now I'm being Mekayim that mitzvah, and it takes me 2 months to find the guy. So for those 2 months, I'm not chayiv in any mitzvahs. So clearly, that's not true. Clearly, you have to be doing something. So when the Gemara talks about the Shomer Avedus, the Gemara means because you're right now, you're cleaning it, you're maintaining it somehow, so you're doing something. So and his chiddush is even if you could do something else, you don't have to. But if your mom is not doing anything, so then this whole din's not going to apply. And then he throws it at the end that, however, also again to modify his position. That if it's not a big tircha, if you could relatively easily pull off both mitzvahs, so then even though his sheet is your pater for the second mitzvah, so that you're your pater if it's really gonna be a schlep for you. But if it's not a big deal and you could relatively easily do both mitzvahs, so then it's still a good idea to do the second mitzvah as long as it's not too much of a tircha. And the Rama seems to be passing on this. Rama seems to pretty much take a lot of his language out of Iran, and the Rama paskins and the Arachayim and Lamas Chas that whoever is involved in one mitzvah is potter from another mitzvah. Im sarach l'tralach achar acheres. If to do the other mitzvah would involve a tircha, avalim yochel aso shteim kachas below torach. If you could do both, so without a tircha yase shtehin. So it sounds like he's really using the Ran's position. First of all, he's not saying chayiv; he's saying yase shtehin as if it's a recommendation. And this tircha distinction was brought by the Ran. So he basically seems to be adopting the Ran's position that if it's possible for you to do both, and it's not such a tircha, so then you should. Kind of building off the Ran's idea, the Chavalim Ni'imim again in one of his shuvas. So he there assumes that someone who's osik mitzvah is potter from a second mitzvah, even if the second mitzvah you could have somebody else do, even if it's a mitzvah that you could do with shlichas. So, for example, like tzedakah could have been such a case. If you're involved in aveda, you could have had somebody else bring over your wallet and give him tzedakah. But apparently, that's not the responsibility. So he says, "Efshel kayim shneim." Goes even if you could have somebody else do it, so you're still not obligated. Osik mitzvah passes you from that. Hi.
Why is it not recommendable to do what mitzvah you mean to do the tzedakah?
Because then you could explain it that the tircha itself will take away from your kiyum of the first mitzvah. But then you could start to fudge a little bit the position of Tosfos. It sounds like the Ran's position is that even if you could really do both mitzvahs, so you're still not obligated to do the second one. If the second one is going to take away from your kiyum of the first one, so then that's already going to fudge the definition of what Efshel L'Kayim Shneihem is. So it would seem like it's not recommended because it's going to compromise your focus, but you have to put it in that vague place in between where it's not compromising enough that you're really taking it away.
That's not really
an issue. It is. The tircha is where it's gonna. You know, you have the right to be focused on what you're doing, and the tircha is gonna split your attention. So even though it's possible, so you're not obligated to do it. So that, well, again, even the Ran acknowledges that you're not obligated to do a mitzvah that tircha. He's just saying it's good advice. He says, "Yos tov." That's the language he uses. That it's a good idea. But you're still not mechuyev. I think he didn't spell it out. But he says that the reason you should do it if you have no tircha is because it's a good thing to do. He yos tov. It sounds like from his language like you're still not mechuyev. So the shliach is representative of something you're not obligated to do. And if you do it, so the Ran would agree that sounds like a good idea. Hi.
So according to the Ran, as long as the key is that you're oisik in the mitzvah. For us, a person is Isaac in Torah. He's Isaac in it. It's not like the Aveda where you do nothing. Here, Torah, your mom makes Isaac in. A person will be Isaac in the Torah from the beginning of the day till the end, and you're part of all mitzvahs.
So Torah is its own category, as we'll see, and we'll get to that at the end. We'll come back to Tosfos has its own, and Torah has its own separate discussion. So that's it's very relevant to what you're raising, but we'll discuss Torah separately in a few minutes. So now, what comes out of this issue, a very major difference between, let's say, the Ritzvah's position and many others, especially Tosfos, would be, what if I would choose to do the other mitzvah that I'm pater from? When we say I'm pater from this other mitzvah, does that mean I'm completely off the books, as if I never had anything to do with it? Or, no, again, it's like an onus type thing, that basically I'm off the hook, I'm not held responsible for my failure to perform the mitzvah. But, should I somehow accomplish that other mitzvah, maybe it's considered a mitzvah. What is the status of a mitzvah that I would do if I'm patur from it? That's an important question that comes out of these two positions. Seems clear from the ritva, like it's nothing. The ritva tells you it's a complete rishus, you should not do the other mitzvah. But from the other rishonim who don't say that, so then maybe there's some room to say that there's some value to this action. Now, in general, the rule is, the Gemara seems to say in Rosh Hashanah and Dafka Chesam and Aleph, that if somebody does a mitzvah at a moment when he's not chayiv in it, so that's no good. So, for example, the example the Gemara is talking about there is, let's say you have a person who goes in and out of sanity. And a person who's not sane is patur min hamitzvos, but sometimes you may have somebody who goes back and forth. So sometimes he's lucid and he's clear, and sometimes he's not. So when he's not obligated in mitzvah. So let's say over the course of Pesach night, he goes back and forth. And during the time when he's not composed, so he eats matzah. So the Gemara there indicates that a person who ate matzah during that time when he's patur, when he wasn't obligated in mitzvah because he wasn't together, so the Gemara seems to indicate that that's not a kiyum mitzvah, that he has to then eat matzah again when he's chayiv. So the rule would seem to be, just on the surface, that if somebody performs a mitzvah when he's not obligated, a mitzvah in general he's obligated in, but at this moment he has a patur, at this moment he's exempted, so then that mitzvah is not effective, and it's the way Shulchan Aruch rules as well. In Aruch Chaim Taf Ayin Hey Hey, right? Ochol Kizayit Matzah Behu Nichva Beish Duso V'Yachach Nisrape Chayiv Le'Ochol Acher Shnisrape. So if he gets better, he has to eat it again after he gets better, because that's when he's really chayiv. So, just transferring that principle, one might say that somebody who does a mitzvah that he's patur from because he's involved in another mitzvah, that other mitzvah is no good. And that would probably be consistent with the Ritzvah's position. However, there are other poskim who say very much not that way. Explicitly expressing this position is the Ramami Pandu. The Ramami Pandu in Siman Kuv Beis writes that somebody who's involved in Torah or other mitzvahs at the time when the Chazaras HaShatz is going on, or what exactly is the situation, you have to figure out how that's different with what we do nowadays. But he says he's patur from answering Amen and answering all the responses to Chazaras HaShatz. However, if he does it, he writes explicitly, if he should choose to answer, that's a good thing also, and he's doing a mitzvah, it's just that he's off hook from doing it, but if he does it, so he's still accomplished something. And he writes, the people who do this have now two mitzvahs in their hand. They have the mitzvah that they were doing, and also they accomplished the mitzvah of answering Kedusha and all of that.
The mitzvah,
he writes that they're oskim b'mitzvah, oskim b'torah. Now how exactly that relates to what we assume halach l'maisa, that you're not supposed to learn Derech Zaras HaShatz. You have to figure out exactly what the Messiah is talking about. You're necessarily part of this minion or not. That's a good question. However, it is somehow he has a scenario where people are learning.
It's kavua for a base medrash and somebody comes in.
Right, that could be some scenario where somebody's learning and there's chazar tashatz going on. So he says you're not obligated to answer. You're part of a mitzvah. But if you do, that's also good. So he very explicitly says that here's a situation where you're potter, but if you do it, it's still a good thing.
Like his actual kind of name, though.
Right, but again, according to the Ran and some Rishonim, Efshel Kaim Shneim is still Pater.
Right, I mean, it was clear from the Ran that by an Efshel Kaim Shneim that there's Tsar or whatever.
You're saying that maybe the Ritva would never have this case, because if it's not Efshel Kaim Shneim, although it's not so clear if Efshel Kaim Shneim, because the moment that you're answering, so you're distracted. So I'm not 100% sure if it's Efshel Kaim Shneim. Just point out parenthetically the Mishnah, I think the Mishnah Berurah Pasuk is like this. The Mishnah Berurah and the Shaar HaTzion, I don't remember if it's here or not, but in Shaar HaTzion on the bottom of the page says that somebody who's involved in mitzvahs is patur from other mitzvahs. However, if he does a mitzvah during that time, let's say if he eats matzah during that time, so he is yotze. He just has a question as to whether or not he should make a bracha. So since he's not mitzvah right now, so he's not sure about the bracha, that's the suffix, but he says explicitly, he paskins that you are yotze. Sorry?
Couldn't there be a very difference between somebody who's positive because of being shot at the time? Maybe it's not really that you're positive, it's like
soul in the dust. So, exactly, that's what they're explaining. That basically, those poskim who hold that you can be yotze the mitzvah this way are basically saying, like you're saying, that the soul of a shota is a real, the patur of a shota is a real patur. That's really, you're really taking it out of the picture. And therefore we see from here that the patur of Oseg Mitzvah, according to these Rishonim, is not a patur that knocks you off the page. It's a patur in the sense of it's an excuse, so to speak. So you're justified in not doing the mitzvah. But if you do do the mitzvah, so it's still your mitzvah. It's still something that it's still something that counts. Hi.
What is the
No, because he says it's a terrible thing to do. He says that it's a rishus, and the whole chiddush of osim mitzvah. He says that logically you would have thought that you could only do one, but you can pick which one. And the chiddush of osim mitzvah is telling you you're not allowed to do the second one. That we canceled out its mitzvah status.
Even if it could be done after.
That's what it sounds like. It sounds like you're not mekayim if you did it at that time. Many want to bring a raya from a gemara in Zvachim, which I should have put on the sheet, but I don't think I did. There's a gemara in Zvachim on daf yates and aleph. That there the Gemara wants to know that when you have a Kohen who's wearing Big Day Kahuna and is doing the Avoda, so he can't have anything that's going to interrupt him, but you can't wear a wristwatch or a t-shirt or anything that's going to interrupt between his body and the Big Day Kahuna. So the Gemara says, well, what about tefillin? So is tefillin going to be a chatzitz or not? And the Gemara concludes that it is. And there, as Rashi points out in the Gemara, and as the Gemara already also implies, so the Kohen is putter from wearing tefillin anyway, because he's osik b'mitzvah. Since osik b'mitzvah, he's not obligated to wear tefillin. So some suggest that Karen Ari explains the havmin in the Gemara. Why does the Gemara ask if it's a chatzitza? If you have a guy who's putter from a mitzvah, so he's not obligated to wear tefillin, so then the tefillin should be no better than purple headband. So if he wants to put on a purple headband, so that's clearly a chatzitza. So why would the Gemara have to even ask about tefillin? So the Karen Over and others say that that's the Havin of the Gemara. Havin of the Gemara is that Osek the Mitzvah potters you from a mitzvah, but you could still fulfill the mitzvah. And therefore, I maybe would have thought that maybe tefillin is not a chatzitza, that maybe tefillin is better than the headband, maybe it has a status of something that's not going to be an interruption to the Big Day Kahuna, and the Gemara has to tell you that no, even tefillin is a chatzitza. But the fact that you have to have this din is an indication that, in theory, one could fulfill the mitzvah, even though he's potter from it. There is an interesting creative point in one of Rav Yosef Engel's svarim, in his sefer Beis HaOtzer. So he has a little back and forth, where he says like this, we have a din of Ein Osin Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas, that we normally recommend that you shouldn't do two mitzvahs in one shot. You shouldn't try to kill two birds with one stone. So Rashi explains in Sota that that's because you don't want to make it look like the mitzvahs are a burden to you. That you're trying to do things in as quick a way as possible. It's like a negative hitter, so to speak. It's a way of showing a lack of appreciation for the mitzvah. So that's not such a nice thing. So Yosef Engel, in his base Sota, he wants to take a different type of explanation. And he says, maybe it's about osek mitzvah patur ben mitzvah. If you're going to try to do two mitzvahs at the same time, so then they're going to cancel each other out. Each one's going to pass to you from the other one. And who knows which one it is that's the one that works and the one that doesn't work. So then you're going to end up with nothing. And therefore, when you try to do two mitzvahs at once, it's like a shootout. They shoot each other and you're left with basically nothing. But then he says, I thought that at first, but then I saw the Ramami Panu. You mentioned the Ramami Panu before, that you can be Yotzei a mitzvah when your Osig mitzvah is still a good mitzvah. So if the Ramami Panu is right, so then maybe my whole word is wrong. Because you are Yotzei the Mitzvah. But then he says, no, actually the Ramami Panu makes it better. Because the fact is, they know Mitzvah Chavilas is really a Din L'Chatchila anyway. It clearly doesn't passel the Mitzvah. If you do two Mitzvahs together, you kill Yotzei. So then, it works well. That L'Chabidiyevet, if you did the Mitzvahs, you were going to be Yotzei. So with Osin Chavilas, you're still Yotzei, but we don't do it because it still makes one into an inferior status, and you're not going to want to fulfill a Mitzvah when it's not at its best. So for that reason, since the two mitzvahs compromise each other, they know some mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. He says that that's a little more of a question. He says that right. So that's where it really falls apart a little bit. But it was a nice lumbus to begin with. But to actually use the Ramami Fano has definitely had that issue. So another major nafkamina that would seem to come out of this is to be motzi somebody else. That if somebody else wants to be yotzei mitzvah through another guy, and the guy who he wants to use is himself osek mitzvah, so that would seem to flow straight out of this question. And that's discussed in the Marach or Zeruah. The Marach or Zeruah writes that the Talmidim who are going to learn by their Rebbe, so throughout that whole time they are pater min ha-mitzvah. However, if they should choose to do it, again, that's good. And he said they can make brachas on the mitzvahs they would choose to do also. That's more than the Mishnah Berurah is willing to say. And he explicitly points out they can be motzi other people. So that seems to suggest that really the mitzvah, I mean, it seems to suggest very clearly that really the mitzvah is there, and it's so much there that you're actually even considered a mechuyev bedavar and a person of equal status to be motzi somebody else. That's a very big statement, the marach or the ruah. So that's a very big statement about how the patur of osug mitzvah works. Right? That we know that normally, if you have two people who are obligated in the mitzvah, somebody who is less obligated than the other person can't be motzi that person. So this is a very big statement about osug mitzvah, is that even though it gets you off the hook for not doing it, but it doesn't affect your status ki huzeh, according to Ma'arach or Zeruah. That you're still just, right, you're still just as mechuyiv as the other guy. You're still a mechuyiv bedavar enough to be able to be motzi the other guy. This also impacts another issue that the Taz and the Jerisha fought about, and others got involved. This is also a big issue in Poskim. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, in Yoridei, in Shin Mem Aleph, Sif Hei, so the din is, if you have a person who is an Onei, and so an Onei, Rechmona L'Slan, somebody who lost a relative in the funeral hasn't happened yet, so that person is potter for mitzvahs during that time. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, so let's say he's an onen all night until the next day. So he doesn't have a ma'ariv because he's potter from mitzvahs. So the next day, he does not have an obligation to daven shacharis twice. Because normally the Gemara says, if you miss a tefillah for a justifiable reason, so we let you daven twice the next time. So he says, that doesn't apply here because that's true if, whatever, you didn't get around to davening for a good reason, so we let you make it up. But the onen is potter. So therefore, there's no obligation for you to make up something that you didn't have to do in the first place.
How is it different than the shoytik? Because
that's not tashlumin. That's there's time left. Let's say Pesach night, he gets better 3 hours into the night. So now he's chayiv. But here, the whole night passed. So you didn't daven ma'ariv the whole night passed because you were an onen. Like the person was an onen. So now he wants to make up his lost mitzvah. So the Drisha says he doesn't have to make it up. The Shulchan Aruch says he doesn't have to make it up because he was never chayiv to begin with. You don't have to make up something that you weren't obligated to do in the first place. So based on that, the Drisha says, and the Taz quotes the Drisha, that this is true also when it comes to Osik the Mitzvah. If a person is Osik the Mitzvah, so he is completely knocked off the page when it comes to the Mitzvah. And therefore, if he's Osik Mitzvah through Osik Pesach Yitzibur, throughout an entire period of a tefillah, whatever, misses Mincha completely, misses Ma'ariv completely, whatever it is, so then we excuse him for not davening, and we don't even obligate him to daven twice the next time because he doesn't even have anything to make up. And the Taz thinks this is very wrong, and this ends up being a big fight in the Sekelim, and the Shach, and the Magen Avraham is also involved in Erchayim. It's a big discussion of the Sekelim, who's right about this. The Taz says, no, it's not true that an Osik Mitzvah basically is somebody who has a good excuse for not doing the Mitzvah. So we recognize his excuse, but there's still a chiyuv there. So therefore, he should still take the opportunity to make it up, while the Drisha is saying, no, he's completely knocked off the page, therefore there isn't even anything to make up. Diane Ehrenberg, who has a lot of interesting shuvas about this topic as well, and the shuvas Zari Hoshua, Diane Ehrenberg suggests a hashkafic reason why this whole concept should be, especially in relation to this idea. Says the reason we say Osik Mitzvah Patim and a Mitzvah, getting very spiritual here, is all of mitzvahs really exist, you know, the Tzarif is Abrius, and the Midrash will say that the mitzvahs really exist to protect you from sin and to create protection around you. So if you're already involved in one mitzvah, so you have protection, so there's no point in doing the other mitzvah. And building on that, he says this also affects the Tashlumin question, because again, you didn't really miss anything. You had this protection that came from one mitzvah, so there's no need to do another mitzvah. Shalom?
Does the Jewish explicitly talk about that the back here, and that Aninus is, that he's looking at Aninus as thing based on the fact that you're the Tirda of the maze, because that isn't that a demo?
Okay, that's an important thing to point out. I'm not going to get into that in its full length, but that's right, that is an important point to point out. I wanted to say that as Rishol is pointing out, so it is a question Rishonim in general, in the third parak in Brachas and in Mordechai, what the tour of Aninus is about. This is worth a whole different discussion. that according to one view in Rishonim, aninus basically is osek of mitzvah, patur and a mitzvah. That what it is that the relative who has an obligation to prepare the funeral, so therefore he is osek of mitzvah, and that exempts them from being involved in other mitzvahs. So if that's true, so the drisha could definitely be understood for. Drisha could definitely be understood for making the comparison. It's basically coming out of this din. But there are other views in Rishonim that don't understand like that, that understands the Kavod HaMeis issue. A lot of important nafka minas about that.
But
at least...
Taz also seems to be involved in the same assuming. Taz is just arguing that this isn't a case. This isn't the correct application of a submit by the Mitzvah.
Well, the problem is, the Shulchan Aruch says it didn't by Aninus. So if you believe that Aninus is purely driven by Osek B'Mitzvah, then Lechor the Drisha has got a very strong point. If you want to say that Aninus is not that, it's either it's a Kavod HaMeis issue or maybe it's some combination, it's got some other element, so then you have room to say that Aninus has more of an exemption. But if you say it's purely Osek Mitzvah, which does exist in Rishonim, so then the Drisha's point
right.
Then the Drisha's point is very very
understandable. On Shabbos, let's say they came to a Kur on Shabbos,
so that's why Rishonim say that at a time that's why Aninus for Shabbos. And also, it may be that a person who's not nearby is also not subject to aninus. It's also something that Rishonim discussed, that if somebody lives many miles away, he's not going to be involved in the funeral, so he's not osek mitzvah. That maybe aninus is not automatic to all the relatives, but only the relatives who are actually involved in the funeral, when they can be involved in the funeral. That's a discussion. But we won't spend so much time going into all the details of aninus. There is a back to this Tashlumen point. There is a very interesting tshuva in the Lahar Rus Nasan. It had to come up somewhere. In Chelek Hay in Siman Mem Beis, so Lahar Rus Nasan says that if somebody is fasting on Yom Kippur, and by the end of Yom Kippur he just can't take it anymore and he falls asleep, so he falls asleep and he misses Ni'ila. So Lahar Rus Nasan, Lahar Rus Nasan, Nasan Gishtet, Rav Nasan Gishtetne. Lahoros Nasan. Oh, where was it? In Chelek. Chelek Hay in Siman Mem Beis. So he says that if somebody is so exhausted from fasting that he falls asleep, and he forgets that he's not able to say Ni'ilah by the time he wakes up, Yom Kippur is over. So then there's no need to do Tashlumen for Ni'ilah. Parenthetically, Tashlumen Ni'ilah is a whole separate discussion. But let's assume for now that it exists. So then there's no need to do Tashlumen for Ni'ilah because he was osik the mitzvah of fasting, and the mitzvah of fasting clearly, you know, overwhelmed him, and he was pater from Ni'ilah. So just like the Drisha says, when you're pater, you're not obligated to even make up the Ti'ilah later. So too, you're not obligated to make up Ni'ilah.
Because he was fasting, he was pater.
Yeah, he was fasting. It was the fasting that knocked him out. And he fell asleep.
When he was fasting, he was mechuyav.
So, well, I was thinking a different question. See, basically, he's saying that while he was fasting, because he was fasting, he fell asleep. He came because of fasting. So, therefore, he was asleep, he didn't daven Ni'ilah. So the fact that he didn't daven Ni'ilah wasn't just like somebody who fell asleep at night and didn't daven Ma'ariv and daven two shacharis in the morning. He fell asleep because of the mitzvah, because of the mitzvah of fasting. So, therefore, it was not only a good excuse type of thing, like you daven twice, but it was a p'tur that knocked him out of the picture, and therefore he's not...
knocked out the Ni'ilah.
Right, the time it's knocked out the Ni'ilah. Now you could say, well, then maybe we should potter everyone from Ni'ilah. Right, then the void must be that it's that the people who are able to pull it off, Igluya Milsa, it's Asher L'Kayim Shneim. So for most people who manage to make it through Ni'ilah, so it's Asher L'Kayim Shneim. The person who L'maisa it's not, he falls asleep because he just can't take both the fast and Ni'ilah at the same time. So such a person, not only we excuse him, but we excuse him Adikid Kach, that we say he was completely potter, and we don't make you make it up. Again, I don't know if that's Muskman or the Poskin. That's what Rav Nasan Gishtetner discusses. I didn't see it recently, so many, many years ago, but I think I remember that Rav Cook in his Tshuvas actually says that this leads into other issues, but that somebody who falls asleep on Purim because he's drunk and doesn't bench during from the Suda is patur from that because of Osek Mitzvah, patur from Mitzvah. A couple of Chidushim in that sense. And it's like many, many years ago, so don't hold me to it. Sorry? I may have seen it on Perm. I may have made it up. It may have been a Perm skill. But I think of Kuf Dasha Yisna Chuvit, but I'll have to take another look to confirm it. So, hi.
Are we assuming the mitzvah involved in davening Ni'ilah is what? Mitzvah Tefillah?
So the mitzvah, yeah, the mitzvah of tefillah.
But what is the mitzvah of
tefillah? What is the mitzvah of tefillah? Is it a derabanan? Is it a deraisa?
And if you've done it already.
It's definitely a kiyum deraisa. You know, it may not be, tefillah is not an obligation deraisa, but definitely. So then you're already yotzei the mitzvah according to everybody, I mean, even according to Rambam. So that's something you have to climb. Of course, you have an obligation, basically an obligation with Rabbanan to daven. So, sorry?
It's
always
like
the mitzvah knock-off. So the question we'll discuss in a minute is what about the other way around? So let's discuss that in a second. Hi. According to the Ritva, everyone's pater from Nila, because if Nila would take away from the fast.
Right.
Like the Pasht is for most people, it's actually Kayim Shnein.
Sorry?
Why? Because the Ritva also agree that if it's actually Kayim Shnein, then you then you could do both. He would probably agree that if it would compromise your fast, you shouldn't have it. Which most postkin
mitzvah
probably
also
do.
During the whole time, you shouldn't do it.
No, because again, the ritva doesn't necessarily argue with Efshel Lekayim Shneim.
But he says
the Rishus. No, but assume if it's not Efshel Lekayim, if you have to, he says the Rishus, if you want to have to stop the mitzvah you're doing to do the other mitzvah.
Oh, okay.
If you don't have to stop the mitzvah you're doing, so then, otherwise, again, otherwise it's a very wide concept.
You're very tired.
Right, so it could be, and this might that's not a crazy concept. Right. But probably many poskim would tell you that also. That if your davening ne'ilah is gonna make you have to eat because you're gonna be so knocked out by ne'ilah that you're gonna come right to fast. So that's not such a crazy thing. That poskim would probably tell you again, better for you to skip ne'ilah than to compromise. But that's also because of the chumrah of fasting. So. Okay, just a few more points to make. So, especially if one understands the way we said it, like the Ran says it. That the way we kind of read into the Ran, that chiddush of belechtucha baderech means that mitzvahs were only given to people who are involved in their own pursuits. But if you're involved in a mitzvah pursuit, so you're not chayav in mitzvahs. So then the question is, does it even have to be parallel? Let's say the action you're doing, does it have to be on the same level as that which you're pottering from? For example, let's say you're involved in a suffik mitzvah, whatever it is, and you have an opportunity to do a vaday mitzvah. The Nesivus HaMishpah writes that you're not pater, you're obligated to do the Vaday mitzvah. But the Imre Binu, the Kalash Rav, and others, and the Tzibes HaFrank, the Chief of Baptist also, actually asking on the Imre Binu, the Imre Binu brings Rai is that maybe even a Suffolk mitzvah will pater you from doing a Vaday mitzvah. So basically the question is going to be, and this is going to apply to the next few examples we'll talk about, if the action you're doing is not on a level with that which you are giving up, so are you still putter from the second thing? Now, according to the Ritva, it's actually interesting. The Ritva says, clearly, osik mitzvah putter and mitzvah doesn't mean that you don't have to stop what you're doing to do the second thing, because why would I ever think that I should stop what I'm doing to do the second thing? But one could ask the Ritva, what about the case where the second thing has some milo over the first thing? Now, the Rambam already told us in his commentary in the Pirkei Avos that we discussed before, if you're dealing with two Daraisa mitzvahs, so we have no way of knowing which Daraisa mitzvahs are better than other Daraisa mitzvahs. All mitzvahs, as far as we know, are equal. But what if you have a situation like this, where the other mitzvah is, when the mitzvah you're involved in is a Safek, let's say, and the mitzvah you could be involved in is a Vadai, so does that change it? I'm wondering what the Ritva would say to that, because the Ritva says, oh, it's obvious, there's no logic behind giving up the mitzvah you're doing. So what if there is logic? I wonder what he would say.
What kind of stuff?
For whatever reason, then you can make up a scenario. The mitzvah you're doing, you're not sure it's a real mitzvah. You're just doing it misafir. So I have an opportunity to do a real mitzvah, to do a vaday mitzvah, so maybe I should do it. So the Ritva seems to not be addressing that case, just by implication. I don't have a strong proof that's the case, but his whole complaint about saying, why would I ever think I should stop what I'm doing to the second thing, seems to imply that he's addressing scenarios where you would have no reason to think it. But what if there is a reason to think it? However, if you want to say like we were saying in Iran, so it could be an echanami. The fact that what you're doing right now is on the level of something else doesn't matter. At the end of the day, you're not involved in belechtecha, you're involved in chesed shemayim, and therefore that should be a p'tur just as much as a vaday mitzvah. Hi?
I mean, the Ritva is the last one is that even though you're doing a mitzvah, you know, even though you're doing one mitzvah and the other mitzvah is gedola imenu, So still, you know, still be also to drop the first mitzvah and go to the bigger mitzvah.
You're saying that's a halachic gedolah himana. You're saying use the. I mean, it's not just saying like you like it better. But you're saying that's like it's
okay.
About. That could be right. Maybe you're right. Maybe that language is significant. Okay, could be. Could be. It's all speculative. Could be. There is a. I saw a similar point expressed by the Birkas of Ram. The Birkas of Ram in the Sefer on Subas. So he discusses whether or not a Hechsher mitzvah passes you from a real mitzvah. And he basically makes the same point in just saying that it makes sense to say that maybe the limud of Lechtecha Didach means that, again, if you're doing your own stuff, so then you're chayiv. But if you're not doing your own stuff, you're pater. So a Hechsher mitzvah is also not your own stuff. It's not on the same madrig as a mitzvah, but it's still not Lechaz Didach. And maybe one could understand that should also be a p'tur. Hi. Anytime you're going to do a mitzvah, right?
Right.
You say that's a riot that a hechsher mitzvah is right. So, but if that's what he's explaining, that we're not. So he's not disputing that. The fact that a hechsher mitzvah could pass from mitzvah is explaining because even though it's not in the same madrega as a mitzvah. But still, it's not lechas tidach. It's lechas shal mitzvah. So that all makes sense. But this whole question about a mitzvah kala, mitzvah chamura, assuming we have some way of distinguishing it, there's a big debate. And the Shuvas Chavalim Ben Imim, he quotes from the Sefer Sheiris Yaakov, who took a stance on this, and he argues back and forth. There's a lot of svaras and rayas going both directions, whether or not we should say that somebody who's involved in somehow a lesser mitzvah, assuming we could determine that, whether or not that does indeed exempt him from a greater mitzvah. So he has, they both have many rayas back and forth. And in that tshuva, as well as many other tshuvas, so a similar discussion is brought about mitzvah drabbanan. If you're involved in a mitzvah drabbanan, should that pater you from other mitzvahs? I think Rabbi Chanan Wasserman has a piece about this in the Kovei Shiurim also. That's similarly a question along the same lines. There are a number of achronim who thought that the idea of osik v'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah, is only applicable if you're talking about, let's say, mitzvahs penaltim l'makom. But that osik v'mitzvah doesn't pater you from mitzvahs penaltim l'chavera. And the logic behind that might be, this is just found in scattered places and it's not always explained, but the logic behind that might be, assuming we're talking about a general onus type of logic, so in general, there are many achronim have a yesod that when it involves mitzvahs adam l'chaveru, so we can't rely on something like onus. God can forgive you for things you don't do. Onus rachmona patre, literally, God forgives you for things you don't do, because God knows what you're trying to do and you don't accomplish. But people can't do that because they don't know what you're trying to do, so they get hurt if you don't show up for them one way or another, even if you have a good excuse. So some achronim have an idea that mitzvah adam l'chaveru sometimes are prioritized for that reason. So it could be that the idea of osik mitzvah patur in a mitzvah, if you're involved in a ben adam l'makom, some felt this wouldn't patur you from a ben adam l'chaveru. Based on that, I thought one could maybe clear. The question comes up, the Tshuvas von Hagis talks about this. Let's say somebody asks you for staka in the middle of davening. So, which has happened, as you know. So, if you're involved in davening, somebody asks you for staka, so one might say, look, it's proof of the Rav Yosef. Right? The Gemara says, Beferish, you're involved in a mitzvah, somebody asks you for staka, you're not mechuyev. But maybe one could distinguish that proof of the Rav Yosef, the mitzvah was Hashavas Aveda. Hashavas Aveda is a ben adam l'chaveru. So maybe you're involved in one of ben adam l'chaveru, so you're not mechuyev to stop that for another ben adam l'chaveru. But a ben adam l'makom, don't know. It's a suffix. Something to think about. Now, just one last point. So, one last section. So, to discuss the issue that was raised earlier about Osik B'Torah. So, how does Torah fit into this whole story? Now, it sounds like from the Gemara in Moed Katan and Daf Tes, and the Rishonim who comment on that, and that's a little bit of a disputed point. It's not obvious from the Gemara, but it seems to emerge from the Gemara there, and this is something that is on the sheet, that Torah is the exception. That Torah, if it's your responsibility, if the mitzvah that's coming up is your responsibility and only you can do it, either because you're the only one around or because it's some type of personal mitzvah that's yours, so then Torah does not pot you from the other mitzvah. If, however, the mitzvah is after Lasa Le'Acherim, So then the Gemara says, "Well, Yikarim Yipninim V'Chol Chavsecho Yishla." The Torah is the greatest thing in the world. So then you should do the Torah if somebody else could do it. Which perhaps the whole Gemara seems to indicate that the Osek B'Mitzvah doesn't totally knock you off the books. That basically the mitzvah is there for you to take if you could take it. So the Gemara is telling you that really Torah is a great deal. So if you can get somebody else to do your mitzvah, better for you to take the Torah. But if not, so then the Torah doesn't, the Talmud Torah itself doesn't pass you from the mitzvah. So that's a big question. Why should it be that Torah doesn't pass you from mitzvahs? Especially because the Gemara says that people going to a shir does pass you. So traveling to Torah passes you, but the actual Torah itself doesn't pass you. So that's not a question. But besides that, if we assume Talmud Torah can get kulam, so Torah is the greatest, so then why this is the one that gets the worst deal, this is the one that doesn't pass you, and other mitzvah does? Also a question how to fit the Rambam into this, because the Rambam says in Halchos Ishus, some people miss it because it's over there in Halchos Ishus, the Rambam says that one is permitted to not get married because he's involved in learning, or to delay getting married because he's involved in learning. And there he says, he seems to say straight out, because he's involved in Torah, and Torah is Osek B'Mitzvah, and Torah is the greatest mitzvah, and therefore for sure it passes you from other mitzvahs. So how does that stem with this idea that seems to say the Torah doesn't pass you from mitzvahs? And is it, some suggest, because the Rambam doesn't really mean to cancel out this mitzvah, he just means to push it off, to wait a little while. Others actually say, because the Puravu is actually a mitzvah, Eshlasa De'acherim, which is not something you would have thought, but that if you believe that the goal of Puravu is to populate the world, that's actually what Ben Azai says in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Eshla Olam L'Skayim L'De'acherim, that the world could be populated by others, so if you view it as a goal-based mitzvah, maybe you could see such a svar. But whatever, it's a little bit of a discussion many tshuvas have had, is the Rambam shtim with this idea. But it seems to be, and this seems to be what's brought in the Ramah as well, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, that the basic rule is that if you're able, that if you're learning does not pass you from other mitzvahs, unless Sefer Asosei De'Acherim, if someone else can do, so then you're pater. Shraga HaMeir has a tshuva, what if the other guy's also learning? But he'll do it. He'll stop his learning to do it. So are you mechuyev to worry about his learning, or should you only worry about your own learning? Okay, that's a side question. But the general rule is, if you can get somebody else to do it, so then you should learn. But otherwise, strictly speaking, Torah doesn't pater. So why should it be that Torah gets the raw deal here, the greatest mitzvah, and that's the one that doesn't pater? So there are a number of approaches. One kind of highly technical approach is that of the Vilna Gaon, or that is based on the Vilna Gaon. That the Gra and the Shnos Eliyahu is this commentary to Peah. So the Mishnah Peah that we all say every morning, Eilu Dvarim She'ein Lahem Shir, right? There are certain mitzvahs that don't have a measurement, so Talmud Torah is one of them. And the Gra says that what it means is that it doesn't have a minimum shir. But if a guy is learning for an hour, so how many mitzvahs is he mekayim? One? Or 60? How many mitzvahs is that? So the Gra says it's a gazillion. Because the smallest amount of time you can possibly divide it up into, that is itself a mitzvah. So if you were to divide time up into the smallest unit you could possibly come up with, that is itself a mitzvah Talmud Torah. So it has a kind of a double-edged sword, because it hits you both ways. On one hand, you would say, so then clearly learning should take precedence of everything, because it's the most profitable mitzvah by far, right? I'm getting a mitzvah for every gazillion second, another mitzvah. That's amazing. But it has this loophole, literally, that since every gazillion second is another mitzvah, so then, as some sort of say, you're never osik mitzvah. You're never in the middle of a mitzvah, because you're always in between two. So therefore, the mitzvah that presents itself is always slipping in between the cracks. It's not, it never catches you in the middle of a mitzvah. That's a very technical approach. Hi? Right, so going to do a mitzvah is one absolute action. Exactly, that would help be the distinction between that and this. Are there other answers? The Birkei Yosef has a couple of answers. One answer is that this is not that Osik mitzvah in general only applies to mitzvahs that have a defined time. But if you have a defined goal, at least a defined action, but if you have a mitzvah you're basically doing your whole life, it's applicable all the time, and every spare moment you have you're going to be doing this, so then it just doesn't make sense to say that that should pater you from other mitzvahs, because then you would never do any other mitzvahs. And actually Beis Yosef writes that going to do business, you would have thought that should pot you. What does that mean? how is doing business osig mitzvah? There's an interesting tshuva about this in the Dvar Yeshua. Whether do we say it's a heksher mitzvah because by making a living you can do all the other mitzvahs, or is it because maybe making a living is itself a mitzvah, so you shouldn't end up having to steal from people? That's a discussion. But on some level, Beis Yosef seems to view holech l'schora as a mitzvah, but not one that pates you from other mitzvahs. Maybe it's the same svar. Again, if this is your whole life, so then you can't say it's going to pate you from mitzvahs, because then it's gonna knock out everything. Osek mitzvah pates a mitzvah is a mitzvah that comes from time to time or with certain set boundaries. That's a little bit difficult because the Gemara does say that a sofer is also pater from mitzvah. So a sofer could really be somebody who's doing this his whole life. He's really, that's his job. He's the whole day. He gets up in the morning, he writes the Torah all day, and that's what he does. But the same logic could apply to him. He could say he's not chayiv in anything. So that's difficult to say. So others suggest, this is also in the Beis Yosef, and I think the Baal Tanya has like this, that inherent to Torah is the idea of lumer ol menas laso. So you have to be also planning on some level, or some has to be connected in some way to action. Not always, but action is somehow a tznai within learning. So if you are davka not going to do mitzvahs because you're learning, that does certainly undermine the lumot olame lishmor velasos aspect of learning. That if your act of learning will keep you from mitzvahs, so there's clearly something incongruous about that. So that's hard to say that that's going to be the case. Okay, so let's start this again. Let's just quickly review what we spoke about. So we discussed the fact that there is a din of osur mitzvah patur in a mitzvah. The Gemara in Brachas learns it out from the pasuk, and the Gemara in the Mishnah in Sukkah applies it especially to Sukkah. And the Tnei Yeshua explains that maybe you would have thought Sukkah is different because Sukkah has a taste of an isur to it, eating outside of the Sukkah, and clearly osur mitzvah doesn't pat you from isurim, which is what the Maariv Chayes raised about the fact that how could osur mitzvah pat you from Sukkah? Sukkah has losa faith. And there are different answers to that, and a lot of Acharim explain that if the los assay comes to strengthen the assay, so we treat it like an assay. But the basic rule is, osur mitzvah pates you only from assays, and not from los assays. And Rishonim differed as to what the chiddush of osur mitzvah was. According to Ritzvah, it means that you can't stop what you're doing in order to go do the second mitzvah, make the second mitzvah into a rishos. And according to the Ran, arguing on Tosfos says that Efshel Lekayim Shneim Osur Mitzvah doesn't pat you, and the Ran says no, it's not true, it does pat you as long as it's Osek and not just the Mekayim, as long as you're somehow physically involved with the mitzvah. And if it's not a Tercha, then it's still Kedai to do it. And discussed Chavon Benim says that Mekayim to do it with the Shliach, but again it would probably be a good idea if you could do it without too much of a Tercha. And then the question of what if you do a mitzvah at a time when you are Pater. So in theory, when you're Pater from a mitzvah, the Gemara seems to say in Rosh Hashanah like you cannot be Mekayim the mitzvah in that time. So how does that affect Osur mitzvah Pater in a mitzvah? So it sounds like from the Ritva, like Osur mitzvah really knocks you out from being able to be Mekayim the mitzvah. But others disagree, among them Rama Mifanu, who says that people who are Pater from Chazar Sashat, because they're Osur mitzvah, if they decide to answer, so that's still nice and they're still Mekayim something. And that seems to be how there's Tabura Paskins in the Shahar Hatsin, just saying he's not sure about making a bracha, but he thinks you can be Mekayim mitzvah even if you are technically Pater from it. And the Karanor explains that was the Havmin of the Gemara in Zvachim that says that it has to even ask whether or not a Kohen who wears tefillin when he is doing the Avoda, whether or not the tefillin serves as the Chatzitz or not. We mentioned that the Beis Leitzer wanted to use the whole Osur mitzvah idea to explain that Osur mitzvah is Chavilus, and he says the Rama Mifano makes it better because since you could be the Eved, the Yotzer of the mitzvah at least, on some level, so that's the Osur mitzvah is Chavilus. The mitzvah works for the Eved, but the Chachili you shouldn't do it, and that's the little hasbro that he has. And then the question of being Motzi others, the Marach or Zerua writes explicitly that even somebody who's part of a mitzvah, Shemosik mitzvah, can be Motzi others. And that seems to be a pretty strong statement about that. And there's the question of Tashlumen in Tefillah, that the Shulchan Aruch says that an Onein is not obligated to make up the Tefillahs that he missed when during Aninus, because he wasn't Chayiv at all. And the Jerisha says that's also true about Osur Mitzvah Patur Mitzvah. And the Taz says, what are you talking about? Osur Mitzvah Patur Mitzvah is basically a good excuse, but it doesn't take you out of the picture completely. And Rav Nasi Gestetner, assuming that Osur Mitzvah doesn't have to do Tashlumen, therefore says that somebody who falls asleep for Ne'ilah because he's fasting is Patur from Tashlumen for Ne'ilah because he was Osur Mitzvah. And they mentioned that Dvar Yeshua's comment that the whole word of Osur Mitzvah is that a mitzvah gives you a protection, so if you have protection you don't need another protection, and therefore you don't even need the Tashlumen either because the Maisi weren't Chayiv at all. And then we discussed the question of what about giving up the mitzvah you're doing if the mitzvah you're doing is on some equation lower than the mitzvah you could be doing. And maybe one could say Belech Didach means that you're just off the hook. Doesn't matter that the other mitzvah is greater. And this would apply to a number of issues, such as a suffix mitzvah, to give that, if you're involved in a suffix mitzvah and you're presented with a vaday mitzvah, or if you're involved in a hechsher mitzvah and you're presented with a vaday mitzvah, or a mitzvah derabanan to get you out of a mitzvah deraisa. So all of that may be ramifications of this idea. And then we discussed ben adam l'chaveros, that the number of achronim have an idea that osik mitzvah doesn't patch it to ben adam l'chaveros, apparently working off an osik, an onus type idea, that onus doesn't really help for ben adam l'chaveros, because only God can credit you for your onus, but not human beings. And based on that, we wondered, is there maybe room to distinguish if an ani asks for sukkah during davening, do we really say that's the same thing as proof to the Rav Yosef, or do we say maybe not, proof to the Rav Yosef, you're involved in a Shavas Aveda, that's ben adam l'chaveru, but if you're involved in ben adam l'makom, so maybe that shouldn't pat you. And then we discussed the question of osik b'torah. It sounds like from the Gemara, like osik b'torah does not pat you from this, unless it's after l'asas of the echim. The question, how does the rabbi that seems to say that that osik b'torah does pat you from mitzvahs in an emphatic way? And we discussed a number of approaches that it could be a technical approach based on the Gra, that every mitzvah Talmud Torah is so small that you're always in between.